Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
It's a sad fact that some Christian churches are governed by church politics. Politics are a way of directing people's behaviour with a hidden agenda. Somebody with personal desires and selfish motives wants something they communicate to the rest of the church as though what they want is a cause of Christ. This somebody may have been better educated, come from an influential family, or be able to speak well in public. But when this person doesn't get the desired outcome that they were wanting, he or she may gather together a group of like-minded people who pull away and be difficult to work with on many things in the life of the church. Of course, all such behaviour is dishonouring to God in the name of the Lord Jesus, particularly when most local church politics are about small things that don't matter in the long term. Although the scriptures don't indicate the internal politics of today's Bible adventure drama, the Bible does give the results. It was unheard of for a high priest to visit and enter Governor Pilate's palace on a Jewish holy day, as this defiled himself for celebrating the Passover.
As if you didn't know.
But tell me, my dear father-in-law.
Jesus is the Son of God.
You have already said that.
We have more to fear from Christ in death than we did in life.
You've already said that too.
Why? The name of Jesus is on thousands of lips. They're demanding that the temple priests explain the prophecies concerning the Messiah. And when they are unable to do so without incriminating themselves, the people become as madmen and go away convinced that Jesus was the Messiah.
He was?
And the temple priest. They fear that he himself will arise from the dead and again appear before them. The accused become the accuser. The condemned to condemn. The slain to demand justice. We have a choice of three things. First, we can deny that Jesus is dead. We can circulate the report that his disciples stole him from the cross and placed in the tomb something that merely had the general appearance of a man's body, not a body at all.
Well, there were too many soldiers and people there when he died and was put in the tomb to deny it.
Well, only a few would believe such a report now. But as time went on, more and more people would believe it.
Your second suggestion.
I've already stated it, that the body in Joseph's tomb isn't really the body of Jesus at all.
Oh. What is the third, then?
That we make sure he does not get out of that tomb.
I like that suggestion, if you can accomplish it.
Well, I think we can.
We?
A delegation from the temple will make Pilate a visit and demand that...
Visit Pilate? Today? Well, today's the Sabbath.
This is no time to quibble over little affairs.
Also, are you forgetting that Pilate is not of our religion? To enter his palace would defile us, and no longer...
Which is it? Defilement? Or face the resurrected Jesus.
Oh, you win.
Well, well, well. Israelites entering the palace of a Gentile. Do you not fear defilement?
We have a very important matter to discuss with you, Your Honor.
Must be important. Say on.
Sir, we remember that the deceiver said while he was...
You mean Jesus?
Yes, Your Honor.
I thought that affair was ended.
We think it is, Your Honor, but we want to be sure. While he was yet alive, he made the remark that after 3 days he would arise from the grave. Therefore, Your Honor, we respectfully ask that you make the sepulchre sure until the third day.
Are you fearful that he will arise?
Oh, no, 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 Your Honor. Merely that his disciples will come by night and steal away his body and say he is risen.
Oh, that would be terrible, wouldn't it, for you?
Well, may we then expect that his honor will take care of this little matter?
You have the means and the way. Make the tomb as secure as you can.
A great stone has already been placed at the mouth of the tomb. All we need do is place cords across the front of the rock, sealing both ends so the stone cannot be moved without breaking the seals. There are 100 soldiers enough to stand shoulder to shoulder around the tomb. No one can possibly get in or out.
night of the first day of the week has worn slowly away. The hour just before daybreak has come. Christ is still a prisoner in his narrow tomb. The great stone is still in its place. The Roman seal still unbroken. The Roman guards are keeping their watch.
Another earthquake. A beam of light. Coming down from heaven. An angel? He rolls away the stone from the mouth of the tomb as he would a pebble.
Son of God, come forth. Thy Father calls thee.
I am the resurrection and the life.
Oh, clap your hands, O ye people. Give voice and rejoice for the Lord of hosts. The majesty of heaven, the King of glory, he is risen. The Lord is King over all the earth. Sing praises unto the King. Sing praises to his holy name. For the Lord of hosts is with us. Give thanks, all ye people, for the Lord, the majesty of heaven, he is risen.
Jesus taught his disciples in Mark chapter 8 that he would suffer many things, be rejected by the elders and chief priests, be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He spoke this openly. In chapter 10 of Mark, Jesus took his disciples aside and told them that they were going to Jerusalem, where he would be betrayed to the chief priests and scribes, be condemned to death, and delivered to the Gentiles. The Gentile Romans would mock him, whip him, spit on him, and kill him. Yet, on the third day, he would rise again. The Jewish leaders also knew that Jesus said that he would rise again. When Jesus cleansed the temple in John chapter 2, they asked him for a sign to show that he had the authority to clear the temple of the animals and merchants. He replied to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Jesus was speaking about his body as being the temple of God, but the Jews thought only of the huge building that they had called the temple. After Jesus was raised back to life, his disciples remembered what he'd said and believed the scriptures. The Jews didn't want to take any chances that Jesus might come back from the dead, so they sealed his tomb and placed a guard of soldiers around it. But the plans of the rulers and chief priests came to nothing. They didn't accept that Jesus was the Son of God, but only viewed him as a man. They expected Jesus couldn't get out of the tomb unless he was aided by his disciples, so they made sure the disciples couldn't come near. But if Jesus really was the Son of God, what hope did a guard of soldiers have to stop an angel from heaven opening the tomb? This ignorance gives rise to the saying, "Man proposes, but God disposes." And this means God has the final say. In Proverbs chapter 16, it says, "A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps." An angel rolling away the stone in front of the tomb where Jesus' body lay shows that spiritual power is much stronger than physical power. This is why a person possessed by a demon cannot get free of it by using only human power. Only a higher power than Satan can order it out. This power of God comes from the Holy Spirit working through a believer in Christ. The angel said, "He is risen." Since the creation of the world, there has never been another event as important as Christ rising from the dead. If Christ hadn't risen, there would be no Christianity. Neither would there have been any salvation for people. The whole course of history would have been totally different. When Jesus rose from death, he gave final and absolute proof that he was indeed God's very own and victorious Son. God himself came to earth and overcame the last enemy, death, while separated from God, and showed everyone the way to heaven. Some atheists try to say that Christ never rose, that such was only a myth invented by Jesus' disciples. However, they're wrong. Jesus' resurrection is a fact of history. How do we know this? The tomb was empty. No one denies this. If Jesus hadn't risen from the dead, then where did his body go? Roman soldiers were guarding the tomb. Some Jews to this day say that Jesus' disciples stole the body, but this would have been impossible with the Roman guards at the tomb's entrance. The Jewish leaders never tried to round up Jesus' disciples or bring charges against them. If they had, they would have found it hard to find them because the disciples were hiding in fear of the Jews in locked rooms and were well away from public view. The Jewish leaders wanted some means of disproving Jesus' resurrection. So what better way than to find his beaten body? But it was nowhere to be found. After Jesus rose from the dead, he appeared to many people, at least 500 before ascending back to heaven. Many of those people were still alive at the time Paul wrote his letter to the Corinthians, which was about 25 years later. All such people were witnesses to Jesus' resurrection. Another major proof of Jesus coming alive again was the way he affected his frightened disciples. When they saw the risen Jesus, the Bible records they became totally new men, filled with joy and empowered by his Holy Spirit. Their story throughout the world was consistent with Jesus' message of salvation. It had dramatically changed their lives and purpose for living. And not only theirs, but many others in history too. What must Jesus rising from the grave have meant to the Roman soldiers guarding his tomb? They must have been very jittery when another earthquake took place. They would have talked among themselves about the hours of darkness in the middle of the day only a few days previously. These supernatural events must have had the soldiers wondering what could possibly happen next. Let's check the Old Testament prophecies to see if Jesus fulfilled them as the expected Messiah. There is a significant amount of biblical evidence which leads us to only one conclusion. Jesus is the Messiah. He claimed it. Other people claimed it for him. More importantly, he demonstrated it by his fulfillment of every messianic prophecy, and this must leave us in no doubt. The mathematical probability that a person could fulfill even some of the prophecies Jesus did is huge, yet Jesus did them all. One of the most amazing things God foretold was the date of the Messiah's birth. In Daniel chapter 9, we are told that 69 weeks of 7 years, or 483 years after Jerusalem and its wall were commissioned to be rebuilt, that the Messiah would be cut off for our sins. The rebuilding of Jerusalem is thought to have been around 453 BC. Exactly 483 years after Jerusalem was rebuilt, Jesus was crucified outside its walls. We're given the historical information we need to accurately place Jesus' birth in the reign of King Herod, as stated in Matthew chapter 2. In Matthew chapter 11, the Lord Jesus quotes from Isaiah chapter 35, describing a wonderful ministry of healing for any who need it. Over and over again, all throughout the Gospels, Jesus never turned away anyone who needed healing, even when he knew some of them would not turn to him. In his healing of 10 lepers, only one ever returned to give glory to God. Jesus offers us all healing for our hearts at the cost of his own life. He loves people deeply, even though many never admit that he died for them. In the Old Testament, there are many places where the character of Messiah is described. We can see the same character traits exhibited by Jesus in the New Testament. Isaiah describes Messiah as demonstrating tenderness and compassion. Matthew says the same of Jesus when he recorded in his book Matthew, "Great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all." The Apostle Peter goes farther and claims that Jesus is completely without sin in 1 Peter chapter 2, and that by quoting it, he fulfills Isaiah 53 and verse 9. In Isaiah chapter 53, it also says that the Messiah would be buried with the rich in his death. Jesus' battered body was laid in Joseph of Arimathea's own expensive tomb. Furthermore, Psalm 16 speaks of Jesus' body as not being allowed to remain in the grave or to decay. Instead, it would be raised to life from death. From God's point of view, there is or was no other person good enough to pay the price of our sin. Only Jesus could unlock the gates of heaven and let us in by his perfect, sinless sacrifice. Come to him in thanksgiving for what he's done. Choose Jesus' way to God every day, just as he chooses to accept you every day, if you will believe in him. The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound. You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time.